I'll move my music stand back. Brother Mike and I were talking one day, and he said, you know, I've gotten older. And I told him, I said, yeah, tell me about it. And I said, he said, you know, the older I get, it gets harder to preach without my notes. And I said, and Mike's about 16 years younger than I am. And I told him, I said, Mike, I haven't ever changed. I've kept mine with me all during the time. And boy, I'm glad I did, because now that I'm almost approaching 70, it sure is nice to know that I've got, I can look down, because I would find myself forgetting everything. And so he said, you know, I may have to go back to having notes in front of me sometime. I said, look, don't ever worry about it if you do, because God works through notes too, because there were scribes all around Jesus and others during the years that they were walking this earth. I want to thank you for praying for Bunny. She's been through surgeries over the years, and I think some have said, heard before, she's had about 30 surgeries over the since about 1995. And so this is one to correct a problem with her ankle that from our car accident 2 years ago, and hopefully it's going to make a difference. And so I appreciate your prayers for her, and I thank you for that. I want to read to you this morning from John 20, and it's the resurrection story. And I thank the choir for that beautiful, what a Savior, you know, what gifts he's given to us. In John chapter 20, I'm going to read a little bit past verse 20. I'm going to read 19 through 23. When it was the evening on that day, the day of the resurrection, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, use me this morning with my brothers and sisters here at Rehoboth to be an instrument of your love. Be with Brother Mike and Kim and the family as they enjoy some time of relaxation. Be with my sister in Christ. Put your healing hands on her and bless Mary Noble that you will continue to give her the confidence that she has the risen Christ with her. And so, Lord, thank you. Use my words and my voice and my heart in these next few moments to speak the words of truth to the people of God. And we'll give you the praise, glory, and honor, for we know that your love is with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I know that most of you here this morning are expecting that I'm going to start off with some really big sports story about a subject very near and dear to my heart. But Wednesday, I went to the men's devotional gathering at Panera Bread, and they were all saying, you know, you got a smile on your face, and I said, yes. They said, well, what are you going to do? Are you going to wear some kind of a T-shirt under your coat and pull it open, or you're going to sell? I said, no, I'm not going to say a word about it. And they said, I said, I won't say a, so I'm a man of my word, and I'm not going to say a word about it, so I'll let the screens do the talking. Yes, thank you. Appreciate that, Calvin. God bless you. Well, let me ask you, what's the deepest part of the Indian Ocean? What's the deepest part of the Indian Ocean? I expected a hand to shoot up immediately. What's the deepest part of the Indian Ocean? I can't believe this. You need this sermon today, then. If you don't know what the deepest part of the Indian Ocean is, it's the bottom. So you need what I'm going to say, because you couldn't answer that one question. Well, I want to tell you that God was trying to teach them something then. I remember stories when I was a boy growing up. We had our first round screen black and white TV back in the 50s. Some of you may remember those old Zenith TVs. We had a Zenith console and had a big old round screen, black and white. And I mean, it was the greatest thing, because you know, before that, there had been no TV. It was listening to radio all the time. I fortunately was born, it's just like somebody, another person down at Vanderbilt Hospital, a nurse where Bunny went to, she had a PICC line put in on Friday, and the nurse said, what profession are you in? I said, well, I'm retired. I'm a retired Methodist minister. Said, how many years? I said, 36 years of active ministry. And she said, you know, ministers never retire. And I said, you're the sixth person that's told me that. So as we walked down the hall, I told her, I said, baby boomer ministers retire. Which we do. I fill in, but I don't have a church. I will fill in and be where someone's on vacation or someone's ill, but I retired, and I just enjoy filling in, and I thank you. And Bunny and I enjoy coming and worshiping here, usually at the 11:15 service here at Rehoboth, and with Brother Mike and my sister Mary Noble, and what a blessing. But I remember as a boy growing up, that old black and white TV, and sitting around it. We used to live in out off of Murphy Road in Nashville, and then we moved to Donelson when I was 5 years old, and my sister was just born, and we had a great time. My daughter and grandson, who are here today too, they don't remember those days. They remember the early. Our daughter remembers. She's getting older too, but she doesn't remember black and white TV because she's not that old. And many of you don't. But it was really interesting. And I never will forget watching The Wizard of Oz on the black and white brown TV. You know, and what was interesting was every time we watched it, we loved watching it. And you know, the ruby slippers, of course, on the old black and white TV were just a shade of gray. And the yellow brick road was just another shade of gray. There was no color. Then in the early 60s, we bought our first color television. And I remember it was around 1964, 65, somewhere around there. And we bought that first color television, and it was not cheap, but my mother and father wanted to get one. And I remember that yearly event of The Wizard of Oz coming on, and some of you may remember this. It starts off, even today, it starts off in black and white until Dorothy is whisked in the house on the tornado and lands in Munchkin Land. And when all of a sudden those little the yellow brick road appears, it changes to a brilliant color. And I never will forget that first times of seeing that. And all of a sudden the ruby slippers were red ruby slippers. And the yellow brick road was a yellow brick road. And I remember what that looked like. And so our old black and white TV was just a memory of the past. No longer was I having to watch anything just in black and white anymore. Now I could actually see it in color because that land somewhere over the rainbow actually looked like it was somewhere over the rainbow now. So I want to share with you, it's the evening of the day of the resurrection, and it's been an interesting journey for these disciples. They are locked behind doors because they're afraid we're next. They got him, they're going to get us. And so they are overwhelmed by the events that have occurred to them. They're overwhelmed because just a few days ago, they went into an upper room with Jesus. He took his robe off. He washed their feet. And then he took some bread and took some wine. And he says, this is my body and this is my blood. It's going to be broken. It's going to be shed for you. They had never heard that before. And then he went into a garden and he prayed. And in that garden, right after that, he's arrested and he's taken and put into a trial. He's humiliated. He's stripped. And then he's hung on a cross and he died. And then comes the news from a couple of those disciples. They said, we saw the tomb. It's empty. And the women said the same thing. It's the tomb is empty. And so what are they to think? In those few days, those 3 days, all this is, so many things have happened. And suddenly, through locked doors, he's there. And he walks in, and it says in the scripture, he breathed on him. Received the Holy Spirit. Now, you talk about something as powerful as the resurrection was, that moment is powerful because it gave them and it gave to us what we need for the rest of our lives. You see, now their black and white lives and the lives that have been a shade of gray now have added a splash of color. All of a sudden, something is added that they didn't have before. Receive the Holy Spirit. You know, it's interesting because Jesus had given them orders. At that point, he said to them, don't let your lives be gray anymore. Let it be colorful. Let it be full. Jesus is calling them and empowering the disciples to be what he had taught them. He says, I want you to be light in the darkness of the world. See, all of these things he had taught during his 3 years of ministry. I want you to be light in the darkness of the world. I want you to be salt where there's no flavor. I want you to be love where there could be hate. I want you to be to forgive when you could seek revenge. Jesus is basically telling those disciples behind that locked door when he breathes on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit. I want you to be something that only you and any of those who will receive that breath of the Holy Spirit can be. You can be my disciples in a black and white, evil gray world. You can bring a splash of color. A splash of color. And all this happens when we allow the breath of God to breathe on us. You know what the Hebrew word for breath is? Ruach. R-U-A-C-H. Ruach. It's translated in Hebrew, breath, wind, or spirit. Ruach. Actually, when you say it in the Hebrew way, and I'm not Jewish or Hebrew, so I can't really say it well, but ruach, ruach. It actually has a breath sound to it, ruach, R-U-A-C-H. And it's all about, it means breath, wind, or spirit. So what he is saying to them is go color your world, disciples. You're behind these locked doors, you're afraid. There's going to be a lot of things you're going to encounter. Now, if you've read the stories of disciples, you know that most of them met some pretty violent ends. Most of them were persecuted. Many of them were beaten, arrested. And you remember this, you've probably seen or read the stories about Peter, the one that denied him 3 times. Peter was arrested, was condemned, and was crucified, but he said, I can't die like my Lord. I don't deserve it. Turn my cross upside down. And so he was hung upside down on the cross to die, which was probably just as violent or even more than Jesus is dying on the cross standing straight up. So these disciples in this upper room are about to go out into an evil, gray, dark world as a splash of color because they have received the Holy Spirit. Guess why we come to church? Because we get to go out the doors after church and Sunday school and go back into the world. And the world sometimes can be gray and evil and dark and can be discouraging. One day it's going along fine, and the next day you're in the emergency room, and then you get the diagnoses. Well, how am I going to survive this? It's hard unless you've received the breath of the Spirit, and many of you know that. Bunny and I have experienced that, and many of us experience that in many ways. You've gone along, you know, and congratulations to those with 47, 48 years. Don and Alpha, and Bunny and I celebrate our 48th anniversary this year, but you know, we know from various things that have occurred over the years, that can change at any moment, and all of a sudden, our world has changed. But that's why I'm so glad I get to come to church and open myself up to receive the breath of the Spirit, to breathe new life into me, because I'm going to have to take these changes in these things that happen as they come. And when they do, I'm going to need to be prepared. So what do we need to do? Well, here's what we need to do. I'm going to give you the formula today. This is the formula for how to be the visible splash of color of God. And he gave us this formula in Matthew chapter 22. When you read in verse 37, love the Lord your God. They asked him one day, what's the greatest commandment? And because they wanted to know, there's 615 Jewish laws. What's the greatest commandment? And he said, here it is. Love the Lord your God. Matthew 22, 37. Love the Lord your God. Ask yourself, how deep and visible is my love for God? And you know, every time we allow him to breathe into us a new breath of the Spirit, we receive this. And so love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Basically said, love him with 110% of who you are. Because I'm offering you everything that I am, he said. That's why I died for you. And then Matthew 22:39 says, love your neighbor. put a splash of color in your world. You don't just happen to live in the home you live in. You don't just happen to live in the apartment you live in. You don't just happen to work in the job you work in. You don't just happen to go to the school you go to. God puts you there to be a splash of color to the people around you. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love them. Care for them. If they are not very easy to get along with, that's their issue. You've received the breath of the Spirit. You be what they can't be. And you know what? Jesus said when you do that, you heap coals of love upon their head. Basically, they don't understand. How can they be so good when I treat them like I do? And then he said, not only to love the Lord your God, but in Matthew 22:37, said, love him with your mind and your strength, your mind and your heart. Did you know in Hebrew thought, the mind and the heart are connected? In fact, Jesus in one other passage says, out of the heart the mouth speaks. So what we say, if words come out of us that are hurting or brash or harsh, if they're cutting, biting, it means our heart needs to have a fresh breath of the Spirit to renew us. And then we get renewed, and then good words come from us. We become easier to get along with. Confess your sins. Admit your mistakes. Listen to God's guidance through the Holy Spirit. In the Hebrew thought, the mind and the heart are interconnected. When you talk about the heart, you're also talking about this. When you talk about the mind, you're talking about the heart. And so love the Lord your God with all your mind and your heart. And finally, here's the last one. Paul said it. Be filled with the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 5:18. Be filled with the Spirit. Now, you can't fill yourself with the Spirit, but I can tell you this. You can sit there today and let the ruach, the wind, the breath of the Spirit fill you again. So you'll leave here a renewed person, filled with the love of God, refreshed. Y'all sang about it this morning. It's not just he just died on the cross to be the Savior. He died so he could come back. You see, in the body, he could only breathe on one person at a time. In the Spirit, he can breathe on each of us individually, one at a time. So we become renewed people, renewed by his love. And so let me ask you to do an assessment, Ephesians 5:18. Does your life produce a colorful harvest of love? These are the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. How are you in all those nine areas? I don't know about you, but I need a new breath this morning because I'm not always perfect in each of those. And so God offers to us a gift. And I'll close with this little story. A lot of people ask me many times about the little medallion that I wear. I went on an event, a 72-hour spiritual life retreat for men and women back in 1993, 22 years ago, called the Emmaus Walk. This is Jesus on the day of the resurrection. I got one of these medallions there around the time of that walk, the Emmaus Walk at Hermitage. In fact, there's one going on this weekend. I was there last night. There's 28 men. One of them is a good friend of mine, a longtime friend, Reverend Ron Lowry, who's the pastor at Fellowship United Methodist Church. He was once the district superintendent in this area. Reverend Ron Lowry is going on the Emmaus Walk. He leaned over to me the other day and said, Alan, do you think an old man can be saved? And I told Ron's been saved a long time ago, but I can tell you what he is getting on this weekend. A renewed breath of the Spirit. And I went over there yesterday to serve communion with them. And so I wear this. I've worn it 22 years. Not this exact one. I've had different ones. But I've gotten this same medallion, the same style, Jesus and two of the followers on the day of the resurrection. And I wear it because it lays right over my heart. And I wear it a lot of times because it reminds me who walks with me, who's breathed on me. It reminds me that I can't make it alone because this life is full of changes. Just ask any Methodist pastor. Bunny and I, in our 36 years of ministry, after 15 years as a pastor here in Hendersonville, then I thought, well, I'll just retire from there. No, God says, Alan, I got a new thing for you to do. You need to go to Dixon first. I don't want to go to Dixon first. He's out, but I've breathed on you, and that's where I want you to go. And I said, okay. So I had and you know what? I thought I had the cake and the icing when I was here at Good Shepherd for 15 years. I had the cake here, but the icing was put on at First Methodist in Dixon because I had those wonderful, beautiful people that loved Bunny and I for 6 years that I was there until I retired 2013. And so on the walk to Emmaus, there is a prayer called the Prayer to the Holy Spirit. I'm going to pray that prayer as my closing. I'm going to pray part of that prayer. I'm going to pray it for me and for you this morning. And then in my 36 years of ministry, about 1989 when the new hymnal came out that you were sung out of this morning, there was a little chorus in there that was put in there that I had only heard a couple of times, and then they put it in, it's on page 393 in there, and almost every message I've ever preached over the last year since 1989, I closed the message, all in Dixon, up here in Hendersonville when I was a pastor, with this little chorus. And I would sing it a cappella, and I say, if you want to join me, you can sing along if you know it. If you don't, just listen to it. So I'm going to pray what these 28 men on that Emmaus walk, and then 2 weeks from now, their wives and other women will be on the Emmaus walk for women. If you want to know more about it, you can ask Brother Mike about it. He's been on one too, and it's a powerful experience because I can tell you, I can never get enough of the breath of the Holy Spirit. I need it. You need it. We need it to live. Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be recreated, and you will renew the face of the earth through us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me.